today on Real Radio.
Now, those of you, listen up, who have been maybe in different church environments and you have, or you would say or sign on the dotted line, I've been exposed to poor church government. Maybe I've been exposed to bad leadership, or maybe I've been exposed to abusive leadership or abusive ministry. Then you need to listen to tonight and look at it biblically.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called United in the Gifts. This examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, is a section that mentions various spiritual gifts believers have received and are to exercise. Now, this same Paul wrote about these gifts elsewhere in his letters, which we'll also look at. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing with United in the Gifts.
And we are continuing our study in Ephesians, but we've been on our 14-week jaunt through some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll cover the predominant ones before we move on to our regularly scheduled study in Ephesians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, we'll look at verse 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says there, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, and administrations." And tonight we're going to be talking about that gift. Some of your Bibles might have governments. Governments and administrations, one and the same gift in the Bible. Now, this is a gift that we've kind of saved for last, but not intentionally, I guess, per se. It's just a very, very important gift. It's a gift that you and I literally right now are experiencing, even if you don't even go to this church. Wherever you fellowship at, you experience the gift of governments or administration where you fellowship at. And so if you're just transiting through here tonight, this message still applies to you very much. And it's a gift that is very, very rarely ever mentioned. You want to know why? Because it's kind of dry in studying. It appears only three times in the New Testament by words. But by activity and by actual doing, it absolutely occurs almost every verse of the Bible in the New Testament, and it's loaded throughout the Old Testament, the gift of governments. And we're going to look at it tonight. And you might be asking the question, well, you know, does it mean, you know, to run for political office or something? No, it has nothing to do with that. Is it to be like the top CEO? You know, no, it has nothing to do with that. I believe, and I know, I'm just looking around here right now, I know people in this body that have the gift of governments. And you might be thinking, me? Really? You know what? You'd be surprised. And I think by the time we come to the end tonight, you will be surprised, and you might be saying, I think I have that gift. Let me give you a little appetizer. Have you ever looked at a church and thought, you know what they need? They need one of these. You very well may have the gift of governments. Because from that point on, that's where it's born. This church needs, let's make up something, greeters. Which I think is an amazing ministry. You know, Gary's been at the door greeting now for, well, I was about 11 when I saw him greet. Let's take that gift. Now, somebody who has the gift of governments would say, this church needs a greeter. And they may or may not be the greeter. But what happens is it begins to cook in their heart. They begin to think, you know what? This is how it ought to come to pass. And you know what? I think this and I think that and I think the other. And maybe I'm going to take it to the Lord and in the Word and in prayer. And let's see what happens. And lo and behold, a ministry is born that you may or may not do. But someone else does. You saw something. You went to the Lord. He confirmed it. He brought people in to do it, if it's not you. And then you, knowing how greeters ought to conduct themselves, you might have even met with the future greeters association and said, this is how it's going to be. This is what I want you to do. And that very much is an operation of the gift of governments. We have this concept in thinking that the gift of governments really only works with either the pastor or the associate pastors or the church board. Though the senior pastor, certainly in any church, I think, must have the gift of governments, there will be those maybe on the board or in the church leadership or not that have it. It's up to the Holy Spirit to give that gift and to draw people to a particular fellowship as He sees fit. But if we understand it, and we'll go through the Bible tonight and look at it, it's exciting to think how God governs a church and how He works because He uses all of us. And that's a scary thought if you think about it. But that's what He's ordained. If we get this under our belts and into our hearts, it could very well change the way that we live and exist in a church. Now, those of you, listen up, who have been maybe in different church environments and you have or you would say or sign on the dotted line, I've been exposed to poor church government. Maybe I've been exposed to bad leadership, or maybe I've been exposed to abusive leadership or abusive ministry. Then you need to listen to tonight and look at it biblically. And we're going to issue some warnings tonight about how important this is. But if the gift of governments is correctly at work within a body of a church, you will be the one to most benefit from it, because you will be free to grow, free to exercise the gifts that God has placed in your life, and you will find yourself advancing in the Christian walk. Okay, did you hear that? You'll be advancing in the Christian walk. If you are not advancing in your Christian experience at this church, then please pray about finding a church that ministers to you. Or, if everyone else is growing up around you and you're not, ask yourself if there's something wrong with you. Then ask, if that's not it, Lord, help Jack to teach us something. Because if God is in control, we're going to be growing like a beanstalk if God is in control and leading. There's an old story that you might know or remember about a farmer who had found a little baby eaglet that had fallen from a nest that was perched high up in a tree. And he was unable to take that little eagle and place him back in his nest, so the farmer took him and placed him in the turkey coop that he had there in his farm, and intending to eventually set that eagle free. But finally, the big day came, and he led that platoon of turkeys out of the pen, and out waddling was this massive golden eagle, head and shoulders above the turkeys. In fact, that eagle could have eaten those turkeys if he would have understood. But that farmer got those turkeys out into the area, into the clearing, and then he singled out that eagle, and he picked that eagle up, and he threw him into the air. Those great, huge wings, some nearly 6 feet in length. Throws up that eagle, and that eagle, flapping, plummets to the ground. And that farmer picked him up and threw him in the air again. That eagle crashed to the ground. And that farmer thought, I'm going to kill this eagle. And he couldn't figure it out. And lo and behold, that little eaglet was taken at such a young age and such a critical time of his life that basically he was raised up under the attributes of turkeys. And though he was an eagle, he couldn't fly, he couldn't soar, though he had the ability, it wasn't in his heart to do. because he had associated himself with turkeys. And you saw the bumper sticker. It's hard to soar with the eagles when you work with a bunch of turkeys. You know, that's where it came from this farmer's yard. But think about it. Here's this incredible eagle, and he's acting like a turkey. Because he had been convinced that that's all he could do. He could just gobble and waddle and get ready for Thanksgiving. But this thing had a huge set of claws, great wings, and a big hooked bill to soar and to hunt and to be. But that eagle was convinced it was a turkey. And there are a lot of Christians who have been, I think, beaten down and abused and been told, you know what, you're a turkey. This is all you're going to do. This is all you're going to be. You're just one that attends the church. And that is wrong. If Calvary Chino Hills is going to do what God has called it to do, you will be one that is eventually, possibly, not all of us, but possibly sent out, like Eric or like Christy last weekend, to some other part of the world. That is the sign of a healthy church. We had a meeting with the city that went extremely well last Thursday. Beautiful, fantastic meeting. We're greatly encouraged. And we praise the Lord for how we were treated and just how it went. And, you know, they put their hand on their hip and they said, you know, how do we know that, you know, now the project's gone from 10 acres to 25 or whatever it is, acres. How do we know she's not going to keep growing and take over the city? What they fail to realize is that it already has taken over the city. But Joe gave a great response. He said, you know, Calvary Chapel's not committed to building this massive ongoing complex. It's going to build a house that it's comfortable to worship in, but it's going to be sending people out all over the place. And that's a fact. And so, should the Lord tarry and we move into this place, it's going to be our last place until the rapture happens, because we're going to send people down the street or around the world. We're committed to that. But the gift of governments is what is going to be the keel in the water that's going to steer the ship or the church along the way. And so we're going to look at this tonight. The text, really, is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, if you want to jot it down or turn to it, I'll only be there for a second. In Romans 12, 8, it says, concerning the operation of the gifts, it says, he who exhorts, let him do it with exhortation. He who gives, let him do it with liberality. And he who leads, let him do it with diligence. And the word leading here is another word that comes under this thing of governing or governments, one who leads or guides along. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, the word government here is kubernesi, and the word is a Latin word of origin coming into the Greek, and it means to steer or to pilot a vessel. It means to direct a ship or to be actually the ship director or to provide, listen to this, maintenance as well. I like that. He's not only telling us that in the church and in the operation of the gift of governments in any good church that someone needs to be at the helm steering the ship and piloting the vessel, but that person also needs to be a maintenance man. And I think that's a pretty neat thing. We need to remember that in the church. I think every pastor that is called by God is also gifted at cleaning bathrooms. And I believe that's one of the strongest operations of the gift of government that I've ever seen. It's very important. We're going to talk about forms of church government tonight. If somebody would please break the clock. It's going too fast. I'm watching it spin. It looks like a thermometer tonight. It appears twice in Scripture, once in Acts 27:11. Where there it says, Paul's talking about the helmsman that was at the helm of the ship that they were on. And then in Revelation 18, 17, the final place where the word appears, again only three times in Scripture, and it is there in Revelation 18, 17, that the shipmasters of the world, those who command the ships at sea, will mourn at the destruction of Babylon. The word shipmaster is one who pilots and leads along. And the word implies that the shipmaster is the one who has been, number one, appointed to the task. So whoever has the gift of governments has been appointed to the task. Number two, equipped for the task. And number three, committed to the task. So if you want to be involved in ministry, any kind of ministry, and I hope all of you do. You know what? I always get in trouble when I ask this, but I like doing it. So just put up with me for a moment. I always get in trouble for this, but those of you who are Christians, raise your hand and just shake your hand up. Look around. Isn't that cool? At Christmas, we didn't do this with little jingle bells in our hands. That would be cool. Now, listen. Those of you who raised your hands that are Christians, you know you're already in the ministry. You're supposed to be ministering now. We're Christians. We're doing Jesus' stuff now. The Christians are. Okay, that being the case, all of us are in ministry. Some of us are paid to do it, and some not paid. We will all be compensated, certainly in the end. But all of us who are Christians are in service to the Lord God. And what is implied is that we need to be appointed to the task. You are, even if it's raising up that little baby right now, which is impossible, if you ask me. I could never do such a thing. But you're called. You're appointed to the task. God wants to and has and is equipping you for the task. And you're to be committed to the task. So as Christians, we say, I'm a Christian. I'll serve God anyway. He wants me to serve Him. That's what the Christian says. But it's implied concerning the shipmaster that there is going to be rough waters and dangerous sea. He's a shipmaster. One who has the gift of governments is one that leads. You may be, in this church, a leader. And you will have to negotiate troublesome waters at times. You'll have people in your ministry that maybe they're at each other's throats or something's going on or something's wrong. You'll have to negotiate those waters. You don't cover it up and say like nothing's going on. That's part of being a shipmaster. It's part of having the gift of governments in the church. And I'm amazed every time we have a leadership meeting or people who serve in the body, there's people here, you know, I don't know who they are. The leader of that ministry I know, but he's got leaders underneath him, and I don't know who they are, but you know what? I don't have to know who they are. If God is at move in this church, and if the word of God is going out, God is going to raise up wonderful people who've been led to govern over ministries. I don't have to hold their hand. And sometimes that drives people crazy. Because I believe if God is calling somebody, they're going to hear from God, and they're going to do their thing. And if they're not, I'm going to hear about it. So I just want them to do their thing unto the Lord. As long as they're walking in the Bible, it's biblical. As long as there's a godly representation, I want them to have the freedom to move about in that ministry as the Lord leads them, not as I dictate to them. And I believe that's under the operation of the gift of governments. You see, a lot of people want some pastor or some hierarchy to come in and say, this is the way it's going to be. You will walk this way. You will wear these clothes. You will... Hey, forget that. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere at all. The gift of governments will liberate the church to be what God has called it to be. Like any ship, there's a helmsman, and like any ship, there are many helmsmates to help that ship along and continue on course and to keep it at sail. Quickly, in the Old Testament economy concerning this gift, the people of God, that is Israel, was governed by God in what's called a theocracy, a theocratic rule. That is that God was governing over Israel. He was their president, prime minister. He was their supreme leader. God was. Israel, only nation in the world, governed and led by God. Now, the rest of the kingdoms of the world had kings or leaders or whatever. God said, no, Israel, I'm going to govern you myself. In fact, the very word Israel is to be governed of God. Jacob, remember him when he was self-willed? When he finally was converted, God changed his name to Israel. Now you're going to be governed by God. And the nation, the very name, means governed by God. And God does that working through people, and he uses the gift of governments. We may not like it, or we may have a perception about it, or an opinion, but God does it nonetheless. The Lord has established in the Old Testament, in that Old Testament economy, the very first operation, and that was the man Moses. When God spoke to the nation, he spoke to Moses first. That's what he determined to do. Think about Moses. Did God pick the best? God picked Moses. He's not the greatest spokesman. He had a stuttering problem. Your King James records it gently. He goes, I'm slow of speech. The word is he's tongue-tied. He stammers. He sounded like, you know, can you imagine going out there to speak to the children of Israel? That's out, folks. You know, it's... Don't you think he should have hired some big, huge CEO kind of guy? That's what we would have done. Not God. God gets Moses. Could hardly talk. But God established Moses as the first mediator. Don't look at human qualifications and say for a moment, that guy should be a pastor. I don't care how good of a car salesman or a washer machine salesman or whatever you are. Don't ever confuse earthly charisma and earthly, worldly, natural abilities and say, man, that guy would make a great evangelist. You can't do that. God takes, read your Bible, read Corinthians. God takes weirdos. He takes goofballs. He takes the lowlifes of this earth. Read it. I'm not making it up. He takes the word in Hebrew is scumball. No. He takes what the world says is nothing. They're nothing. Who would want them? God says, I'll take them. And he works into their life and he creates a ministry. Moses was one of them. Isn't it funny? God has got a weird, weird sense of humor because God uses David. And God knew he was going to be a murderer later on. Would you pick a guy? You knew. You looked at his resume and it said, this guy is going to murder one of my employees. Would you hire him? God did. David killed one of God's generals. And you look at Moses. Moses signs up, you know, what? Tell us about your personal life. Well, I murdered some guys and buried them in the sand. God does this stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. It's an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various spiritual gifts believers have received and exercise for edification and for the glory of Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, February is knocking on our door, and we've told you about the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California. And just in case you haven't heard, Pastor Jack is here to fill you in on what might be called breaking news.
Mike, that is absolutely correct. And this is vital. It is breaking news. And listen, to all of you who are thinking about coming to the conference, our original fee for this conference to make it viable, to make it work, was $50 a ticket for this 3-day event. But in light of the global crisis and what's taking place and all of the events that are starting to come together, we prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel, and we're going to trust the Lord. We're deleting that price, Mike. It's free. It's open to the public. We want as many people here hanging out the building as possible to get these incredible teachings into their hearts. And so it is vital. All of you make note, the $50 registration is waived. No registration needed. Be here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills as we host the Southern California Prophecy Conference. In fact, listen to this. The subtitle of the conference is Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. How fitting is that? You can get more information about that at SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll want to attend this free event for your faith. God bless you.
Okay, well, again, you can visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.